on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, all on deck. Standing out here, I'm going to flip this thing around. I want you to see what the campers here at All Hands on Deck woke up to. Got to hit this thing right there. Jared said hit that thing there. I said, Coach, hit that. How'd you like to wake up to that, folks? Live from the banks of the beautiful Buckeye Lake. That's where we are here today on this. That's really the first day of All Hands on Deck, although a lot of folks rolled in last night. And we had the most unbelievable sustained winds yesterday all day. I've lived in Ohio my whole life, and the wind blew about 25 miles an hour all day long. Never seen anything like it. Never, ever seen anything like it. We couldn't even hardly go out. Luckily, Mike's got a garage, and we were able to sit inside the garage and fellowship. But we woke up this morning. Sun's coming up over our shoulder there. Wow, huh? Beautiful, beautiful. Here's a 2.5-acre lot that Mike Blake's father owns. Right here on the water, and it's just beautiful. We've got this is a big umbrella that they're going to put up here for us later on. We get under, we got a big tent down there that we haven't been. They put that tent up in 25 mile an hour winds. What a sight! Beautiful big tree. I think that's a sycamore, though I wouldn't swear to it. What a beautiful location! A great fellowship. Let me turn around here and see if I figure out how to do this. Jared said, hit that. That's what I did that, and I'm going to do this. Whoops. Yeah, there I am. So I'm going to walk down. I'm just going to walk and talk a little bit. Actually, I don't have a real, maybe what you would call a real exciting show to plan today. I'm going to talk to a lot of the people who are here and why they came here. We got, not everybody was here last night, but we counted, I believe last night, 19 different states represented here already today. Last night, 19 different states. And they're all excited. Some of them have done street ministry. Some of them haven't done it. Some of them came last year. Some of them have been here for 3 years. They love it. And it's just, like I always say, the best part of waking up is the fellowship that you have here. And Mike and Polly Heath, they're here. Jared's going to drive in later. Here's the tent. We're under the tent. Our plan was to have everybody sleep under this thing, but you couldn't get under it last night. You just couldn't. So hopefully today, as the weather gets nicer, we'll congregate under there. We've got some chairs and different stuff. And Mike Heath's over here doing live. He's doing a live video probably right now. So here's Mike standing here with me. He's come all the way in, and he did his show this morning down in my studio. And beautiful. Are you live?
Yeah, I'm live.
See, listen, they won't let me on Facebook. I can't do live on Facebook again. I don't know why. They won't let me on. I don't know why. I can get on Facebook, but I can't do live. So screw you guys. I'm on Mike's Facebook, right? Why can't I be live on Facebook? So I'm gonna go down. Anybody want to say anything as I'm walking here? I'm going down here and grab a couple of people maybe you've never met before, and just that's the great thing about this. Now we have seven people who drove all the way from Wisconsin. Rob Pugh and his crew, seven people. Amazing. Brother Jeff came all the way in from Reno, Nevada. It's amazing. And so I sit back sometimes and look at my life and I wonder if I'm accomplishing anything, because the guys, local guys, I don't have any local friends. Local, big Norm comes. Local people don't come. But I got guys that come from Wisconsin and Minnesota and Reno, Nevada and Texas. And it's amazing. It's just an amazing thing to be part of. So I'm going to go over here, sit down, and I'm going to pull somebody up here that's never been on here with us. One of you, come on over here, Mark. Come over here real quick. Mark Trump. Mark's always here. Let's sit down here a little bit. Oh, boy. Victor, I got to catch you in here. So, Trumper, here we are, man. I was telling you about the sustained winds yesterday. What's been your impression just so far, Mark, about the people and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. And look at this ugly guy.
Well, it's more
coach,
people.
Coach, anything I can get you, Coach? Yeah, give me a cup of coffee, please.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cream.
Yeah, we had 18 people show up, or about 30 people from 18 states.
Unbelievable.
On the first night, we had 21 during the whole weekend last year.
Right.
And what I noticed is everyone's family. Everyone's kind of just comfortable, and there's no stress. Doesn't really matter
no
what
clicks,
we're doing here.
No clicks.
Doesn't matter about the weather. And it's a change from the last time we were here, because I remember it was pretty chaotic last time, getting everything sorted.
That's right. That's right. We didn't know each other, really. Right?
Didn't know each other. And I think what I see here is the buildings of a team. I see the buildings of people getting close.
Yep. Yeah,
you know, just look, Larry shows up.
Let me flip us around here, folks, because here's a point Mark's making. Their conversations just go on everywhere. And the strangest people, they're not strange people, but the relationships that pop up. And say, Mike, I've never thought those guys would get along, right?
Here's the mountain man who's in New York.
We met him at Chappaqua. He's from Eastern PA. And he found out about this, and he drove out here to be part of
through
it, right?
Through the Hagman Report.
Yeah.
So he heard about this through the Hagman Report and never watched CoachDaveLive.com.
Didn't know anything about it.
At Chappaqua, and now he's at All Hands on Deck.
Now he's connected.
And he did not leave Chappaqua like a lot of people. He stayed for the parade. This is a brand new person who's met the huddle. Things like that are what I'm
saying. We're recruiting them every day, man. Back here, got Craig and Addison back. Who thought that would be a relationship that would strike up? You just don't know.
Craig's tight with everybody.
Craig, yep.
He's a warrior.
Some of your comment, and I don't have my glasses on, it's hard to see. There's Roy Davis. Roy came from someplace in Oklahoma over here in the red.
Yeah.
He came from someplace in Oklahoma. I met him down in Austin, Texas. Near Tulsa, probably. Here he is. Bobby Lee over here. There's old Bobby Lee's come in.
Well, I see Bob, but where's Judd? The one thing I'm noticing, Coach, is everyone's not here that came last year.
That's right.
There's a lot of gaps. There's a lot of people that were here last year. There's a lot of people in your huddle. It's no longer in your huddle.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Where are they at?
That's a great question.
But I'm just glad to be here.
I'm glad everybody's here. And listen, here's one of the things, one of the problems that we have, folks. I hear from people, they say, Coach, I can't go to all these things. Or, Coach, I was just in Akron, Ohio, a month ago. I can't come out there again. Here's a part of our problem. Short weather. We have very short, good weather here in Ohio. By short, I mean you can start maybe in May, and it'll run maybe through September. If you're lucky, maybe into October. But if you're going to do things, man, you can't do them year round, right?
Right.
So you do this in April, then you do this in June, then you do this. And so we understand that we put a lot of pressure on people to try to come and join these events, but we got to do it while the sun shines, man. And so that's what we're trying to do. So some of these people were at Occupy. Some of the people, you know something else I noticed, Mark? It's gray hairs. And the reason it's gray hairs is because for the most part, it's not that we care more. It's because we have more freedom.
That's true.
And that's what you're trying to do, right? Free yourself up so that you can serve the Lord, earn a living, and be available to go do what you want to do.
I was just talking to someone about it.
Hang on a second. Go ahead, Mark. Keep
going. Yeah, what's the balance? What's the balance of serving God and serving your checkbook? How much of our life do we spend serving ourselves and keeping our stuff paid for?
Taking care of your families. You have to do
it. Yeah, your medical, all that. Right. And how much do you spend serving others and serving God? So it's an important question for us all.
It's one we're all trying to fight through, you know.
Your will. Or God's will.
I'm 66. I run the ministry, so it's easy for me to go to every place, right? I mean, I am. But you're everywhere, and it ain't easy to be everywhere.
I've been without income and had to sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah. It's judgment. All this sacrifice, right? But then I learned that God looks at judgment higher. It's more important. It's more fulfilling. It's more, you know, it's better.
It's a deepening of your faith, isn't it, Mark? The more you have to lay on the table, the more committed that you are.
Well, the things you sacrifice aren't that important later on because you sacrifice bigger things. So the little things you sacrifice, you don't even worry about no more.
And you get older and you realize how stupid it was. I was sacrificing all that time
stuff.
for that
Usually
boat.
It's stuff. Yeah. Usually it's stuff.
We do it to ourselves. Somebody had a question there. Go ahead. Come in.
I was just going to say, Coach, Mark needs to start selling French fries.
Hey, Alan Zeifer says you need to start selling French fries so you can get free. Alan is selling French fries today up in
Paulding, Ohio, and he got up at 4 o'clock this morning to meet us at the abortion clinic. How about that, huh?
He's gonna be there.
He's probably already there because I told him we thought we were gonna get there about 7 o'clock, and so he's there. So yeah, Vic, what's Vic have?
You can't read.
I got Vic, get in front of me. I'll turn the camera around. Maybe they have a chance to read it.
But anyway, people show up to these things if you can. Okay.
The great fellowships. Okay, hang on. Thanks, Mark. Let me flip this thing around here. Okay, no, that didn't flip. I have to put my glass. There we go. That's what I want. Vic's holding that sign. These are some of the signs we're going to hold at the clinic today. It says, God will not bless a nation that kills its children. Fake Christian America of Babylon commits the sin of silence with innocent blood. Now, that's a great sign, but that's not an effective sign. Can I tell you why? You got to be able to read it quick, man. Boom. People are driving by. Boom. You got to be able to read it quick. So if you stand on the corner where people are stopped at traffic lights, that becomes an effective sign. It's good, Vic. I'm not making fun of it, man. Got a lot of good stuff. Bob Evans, come over here a minute real quick. Sit down here, Bob. He's Bob Evans. He's not the one who did the sausage. This is a different Bob Evans. We did all hands on deck last year, and these two guys pull in. They're pulling a camper, and I said I didn't know him. They said, I'm Bob Evans. This is my buddy Judd. So what are you guys doing here? Well, we heard about it. And Bob, what's the last year of your life been since you've been involved doing this stuff, man?
Oh, it's changed just wildly. Huh? Being here the last year, about 3 days after getting home, I was
something.
Yeah.
And we took you down to
wake up and think about the things.
And you went to Louisville, and I watched you on the streets of Louisville. Man, you were into it.
I didn't sleep after that either.
I don't know if you guys can hear. He said he didn't sleep for a few days after that as well. And he came to Chappaqua, and he's back here again with his wife Tammy and their faithful listeners in the queue. And it's great stuff. A great fellowship, isn't it, Bob?
Yep, definitely.
So God bless you, man, Bob. Thanks for being here. We'll turn him loose at the clinic today.
All right.
Cool, Bob. Thanks, man. Gary, come on in here real quick. Question, anybody want to pipe in? Come on, pipe in. Tam, you want to talk? Gary's my brain. Gary does. Yachts makes it.
Morning.
What's going on here this morning, Gary?
Oh, man. Well, everybody's just, man, fellowshipping. They're getting their bellies filled. They're getting energized. Everybody's ready to get out on the streets.
Lousy day yesterday, right?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Gary, I got to move the mic here because it's clear down around that.
Oh, okay.
There we go. I'm sorry. Thanks.
Yesterday was the worst weather. It looked like either late March or late October.
Typhoon, man.
Constant 40-mile-an-hour wind. Just unbelievable. But, man, the spirits were high. We were in the garage here being out of the wind. And, man, as people were rolling in, getting excited, and just the anticipation of this weekend and what's on the schedule, the things that we're going to be doing, being out on the streets, engaging with people is just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And people are just can't wait to get going.
And so we're going to get going. Michelle, you know, the witch, Michelle.
Oh yeah.
We'll catch up to you here soon, honey. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to figure out where we're going to be, you'll find us and we'll be there. And we're not, hey, come here, Alan. I want to talk to you a second. Chad, get over here. I want to talk to you. So
all right.
Thanks, Gary, man.
See ya.
Just sit over here real quick, Alan. This is Alan Hoyle. I've known Alan for a long time. Alan drives that truth truck. Can you see it behind us there? He drives that. What do you think about what's going on, Alan? Just in general. Not even this, but just in general, brother.
General,
here's the microphone, so maybe hold that a little bit. Just hold it right here where my finger is.
Okay.
Yeah, they can hear both of us in.
Oh, okay. That's wild. Yeah, our country's in all kind of judgment, and yet the church won't waken up. We're sleeping and slumbering, and too many people said, well, we'll pray about it. Well, you know, on that one issue, we need to see what God says about it and what other people said about it. You know, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You know, and then others said, Paul, or actually it was Saul, said, who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? You see, why do we want God, this magic genie that we want to pray to, and want him to pop up and do what he calls us to do? See, my father's going to get involved, and he's going to straighten this mess out. People say, I want to pray that God ends abortion. Well, he will end
abortion.
It'll
be ugly, brother.
Well, it is going to be ugly. It's going to be very ugly. Every time he got involved, it was ugly. So he's coming, and he's going to straighten this mess out. But he told us way back in Genesis that he turned dominion over to us.
Right.
So Satan, we've given him so much ground, so much authority, and so much by the church that's supposed to be out there as militant army that's taken from Satan what he has. I was told in church long ago that the gates of hell should not prevail against us. And they was talking about from sitting inside a safe church.
Won't take our money.
I know the gates of hell is out there. So, but the church today, we can see what happened from that theology. Yep. They don't even meet anymore. It's been closed up, and they made the church building into something else. So we need to understand what the truth really is, and we need to be going after it.
But Alan, you're a veteran.
23 years.
And you got a real cry in your heart to veterans, don't you?
Yes, sir. So the veterans, the biggest thing on that is we swore an oath. And I've come to realize there's a part one and part two. Part one, it says we're supposed to defend the Constitution against all foreign enemies. Foreign enemies. We've trained in that and went after that and done a pretty good job of that. We failed a few times, but we've done a pretty good job. But part B, phase two, says that we're supposed to defend the Constitution against foreign enemies.
And
I mean, domestic enemies.
Local ones, folks. Local ones.
So, absolutely. So, our domestic enemy, we've failed, totally failed, because you go to court, they don't want to hear it in court of the Constitution. We hear over all this time from all these other presidents, they really are destroyed the Constitution. Wasn't even supposed to be in office, much less being president, and we couldn't even get them to say the T at all of treason.
Right.
We couldn't get them to do anything. But since before President Trump took office, they was talking about treason and getting him removed, impeached way before then. So we've messed it up totally by veterans. So where are the veterans today who are willing to stand by your oath? The Word of God says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it.
Amen, buddy.
So we have lied all this time, and it's only we can only do part B against domestic enemies once we become a veteran or whatever it is. So our job, veterans, are not over. It's actually just started for part B.
Well, you're the most highly trained ones of all, Alan, right?
That's right.
I mean, some of you, I don't know, 23 years, whether you faced combat, but we run into guys who, they were ducking and covered, you know what I'm saying? There are bullets flying all around
them.
That's right. They understand what it's about. And here we're out here where there aren't bullets flying around us, and the veterans won't come out and fight with
right.
us.
Right, right. And the fight here is not with guns. It's not with bullets here today. You see, our country was founded on what's called due process. And that's what we need to be fighting with today, is taking these people for perjury.
Equal justice.
They're committing perjury, even on the witness stand. I've seen it and witnessed it. In Kentucky, we have got an Amish farmer who's in prison today, and the FDA went after him. And they lied on the witness stand, and a deputy sheriff said it didn't happen the way they said. But the judge went ahead and lied it. So we got these judges, they're allowing treason and perjury and all this stuff to go on in our courtrooms today. They're our judges and allowing perjury to go on. So
Alan needs his own show, doesn't he? Alan needs his own
anyway,
show.
I better turn it
no,
over.
No, it's all good, because Alan's a faithful warrior, man. He came to Chappaqua. He, everywhere you put a call out, Alan Hoyle shows up running for sheriff.
I'm running for sheriff, yep. Following the Constitution, but I've realized this. More than anything, Coach, I pushed Constitution over and over. That's what my whole platform was. But the Constitution, people say, is dead. And I understand, for the most part, in a large degree, it's dead. But it's not dead to the other part of it, too, is that it's worthless unless we understand where
right.
it came from.
That's right.
It came from natural law. Do you understand that? You need to understand what natural law is, because that's the bedrock of the Constitution. It's the bedrock of the Declaration of Independence. It's natural law. And so we got so many people, whether it's sodomy, whether it's abortion, whether whatever it is, All that is against natural law. It's wholly unnatural. And it don't sustain a nation. It don't sustain a family. It's destructive to its own means. So I've told people who comes out and they say, I asked them, I said, do you believe in evolution? Well, sure, I believe in evolution. I said, okay, so I'm going to give you this. We're going to go with that premise right now that evolution is real. So would sodomy work with evolution? No, it goes totally against evolution. Right. So what you say and you believe in goes against what you say you believe in. It don't work.
Reproduce.
It don't work.
We talked about that on the show the other day, right? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Abortion's unfruitful,
totally unfruitful.
Homosexuality, ain't no fruit from it. It's unfruitful.
Yeah. So if you want to grow a crop, you can't go and get these crops of grapes and all that stuff that don't have seed in it. The Word of God says we're supposed to eat the fruit with the seed that bears seed and thereof. So even the seeds we come to know today is fruitful. There's benefit of eating the seed, but we got fruit that you plant and it's not going to grow anything because it's just going to die. There's
GMO,
no seed,
baby.
Though.
We got GMO.
There you go. So that applies to us today in the natural as a human being is that these things, it's a sin, a crime against nature.
It's government modified organisms. Government modified organisms. That's what we're talking about here in and out.
That's right.
And we're trying to drag them kicking and screaming back to the organic law, brother.
Organic.
I hear somebody's trying to come in here. Somebody, come on in, somebody.
Alan?
Alan, hang on a second. Alan, put this in your ear and you can hear it.
Oh.
Go ahead, Roger. Wait, hang on. Pull out.
Alan, quick question. Your thoughts.
Hang on. Go ahead.
Your thoughts on the power of the local sheriff in the Second Amendment.
Oh.
My understanding is the true power in protecting the Second Amendment rests with the local sheriff. Is that correct?
Well, let me tell you something about it. I've come to realize that I just recently what is the president? He's the executive branch, right?
He presides over it.
He does. But he's also the commander in chief of the military force. Do you understand? We've got to get the understanding of we've got four executive branches in the United States. Number one, we always, some people don't know, but most people do, is the president. It is over all the country. The next executive branch we got is the governor. He's got the National Guard, Air National Guard, or whatever it may be. He's got them as his military force.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
So our third executive branch, when we look at it, is the local, the county, and is the sheriff. There's nobody else that's elected by the people, and he's got the military force of his deputies.
Right.
And then he's got the posse. Have you ever heard of a sheriff's posse?
It's a militia.
Yeah, the militia. That's where it's at. And then the fourth, so that we understand, gets down to the local, to the dads, which today we don't have any men anymore. There's no such thing as a male father and stuff in a home anymore. But that's the fourth executive branch.
So if Alan Hoyle was sheriff, Roger, he would be calling up the militia, posses. You'd be organizing local, getting men and
specially trained. So let me tell you something on this sheriff issue and the Second Amendment. You see, the whole point of it is the people's playing with it. I'm fed up with people playing with things and half truths. You see, we've been satisfied with a half truth for so long. Because it goes beyond the Second Amendment. It goes back to natural law. The Messiah said, if you don't have a sword, you don't have a way to defend yourself, or more so, not somebody else. The military, the police, the fire, or whatever, don't do things for themselves. They do it to protect others. So we played with this and allowing it to be destroyed. So a sheriff, a true constitutional, natural law understanding sheriff is not going to play with the Second Amendment. If you want to carry whatever you want to carry, then that's what your own right is.
The sheriff is the chief of the county.
Right.
The feds can't come in without the approval of the sheriff, right?
Unless he's a weak, spineless man or a woman and allowing that all to happen. Yeah, so that's the power and protection of the people.
Amen.
But we don't understand that because we don't see an example of it anymore. And so the whole country is being destroyed. So, yes, if you don't have, you don't even know who your sheriff are for most people. You need to learn who he is, but you need to learn his role because you're going to train him in what his role is. So if you had to go down to your county sheriff and ask his permission to be able to carry concealed, he's not a constitutional law-abiding a sheriff. He's not a law-abiding citizen.
If you have to get permission to carry it, it's not a right.
Nope. And I thought you paid taxes. You see, many people pay taxes and stuff. But then you got to pay a ransom or whatever to the sheriff to say, well, can I carry to protect my family?
Please.
On your knees, probably. Yeah. You know, you're begging. We're not supposed to beg our elected servants to be able to do our freedom and our rights that are God-given. Our Constitution do not give it our rights.
I can see right now I got to give Alan his own show. Alan, you've been on here long enough.
Okay.
I love you. Thanks.
All right, Coach. We appreciate you and what you're doing here.
Good to have you. Yep. Alan's from North Carolina.
Yeah, thank you for that question, though.
Good question, Roger. Thanks. I'm just trying to run through a bunch of folks here, okay? Yeah. Gary wants to show me something here. I showed that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we already showed that. Yeah, we sure did. Come over here, Chad.
Can make these. People get out there and make their own signs.
Gary said, make your own so people can do this kind of stuff we can do. Chad, Victor, get over here and we'll get you guys on. What time is it? How are we doing on time?
7:30.
Okay, good.
7:30, got plenty of
time. Here he is, live and in color. There he is.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Roger. He's not going to make you.
Dave.
He's not going to make any sounds today.
Now, Roger, I can give you a short answer to that question about the sheriff. The sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in the county or the parish, okay? So as a final thing. So the feds come in, they really don't have the jurisdiction on most of those things, okay? So it's only off state line to state line, across state lines is when they come into play.
Pull this up here a little second. Does that answer? Right here's your mic.
Okay. Does that answer?
Well, so Chad's a cop, he understands that, right? The feds got to get the sheriff's permission to come in for the most part, right, Chad?
Well, yeah, they'll let them know that they're going to come in. But, look, they don't always do that, so.
So, Chad, let's stop talking about that for a minute.
Yeah.
What's your overview here so far?
Well, look, we got a great crowd. There's even more people here than last year. I think we did, another 19 states here were just here last night. So that's what we had last time, I think, 21 last time. So we got more people than we did last year again. And so, we're going to continue to build. So I think we got a great agenda planned. And then we have a lot of good fellowship times. So what's one thing we lack on some of these activities is the fellowship. So we getting together with one another and backslapping and handshaking and finding out, well, you live 1 hour down the road from me. Seeing you never would have known or realized that if you hadn't come in here. And we got a lot of new people. Some people from Minnesota came in.
Chad organizes our brigades. He's got a great one going on down in Texas. It's kind of the model. And those of you out there who would say, Coach, I'd like maybe to host something. Well, let's get going with it. So I don't know too many people around there. We got some emails from just about every state. We have a lot of names. If you want to try to get something going in your area, contact us and let us know. I'll come. Chad will come. We're both going out to Oregon here in a week to help Tim Tuber get one up and running. So
yeah. So if you're on the West Coast and stuff, we'd really like for you to plug in there. Still time for. You contact them at Oregon at saltandlightbrigade.org.
You're not alone.
That's right.
They're everywhere. But somebody's got to organize it and get them out there and understand exactly what's going on.
You're going to need to drive some for the meantime.
Yeah, get your rears out here to Oregon. Come on out, man.
Tim's in there this morning. Yeah, Tim, we're coming out there. We're excited about it. And
that other guy, man, was great. I enjoyed him. You can have him on anytime.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. That boy's deeply committed. You know what the problem is? Christians won't vote for him. They think he's too radical. That's where we are in the chat.
Yes, he's scared of him.
People stand up and want to do what's right, constitutional, all that. Biblical? No. We can't have that separation.
See, it's almost like we don't even deserve to continue to have the Constitution because we don't care about it enough.
Yep.
We don't vote. Okay. We don't like jury duty. We don't like any kind of civil service that inconveniences our schedule. And so,
Hey, folks, you just looked in your own house. Do you let your kids make the rules? I mean, do you have house rules and then they break the rules and they get away with it and do whatever they want to do? Well, it all starts at home, doesn't it? And so it's been one little thing at a time. Why are we? Somebody say, hey, Mark Yance for me. Say hey to Mark Yance. He doesn't know anybody here.
Hi, Mark.
Like Alan said, why do you need permission to carry a gun? It's a constitutional right. Do I need permission to get an abortion, Chad?
No.
Do I need permission to have free speech? Do I have permission to peacefully assemble? Yes, we're doing
well, but you do need permission to get your cats declawed.
You do need permission.
Yeah, so you got
to
get.
You don't need permission to kill a baby that's been born after an abortion.
That's okay.
Right. So this is the stuff that we're talking about, and we got to wake up and understand. Victor, I don't know if Victor.
Right,
you know what he said to me yesterday? He said we're already in FEMA camps. In our minds.
Yeah, in our minds, we're already boxed in.
We're already in there.
We limit ourselves.
Victor, come on over here. They can still hear you, Chad. You got to keep talking there, Chad.
Okay.
We limit ourselves. They don't limit us. We limit ourselves, right?
Let's see when we because we don't believe.
Alan, you were a star. They want you back on. You were a star, Alan.
Can't be inconvenient,
right? No, I'm just kidding. Something, Victor, get over here. Something's got to fight.
Yeah, somebody want to get in here.
Hey, Coach, we're on our way around the highway. Wait for us.
Okay, Rob.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to leave here at 8 o'clock, whether you're here or not. We are pulling out. I already given fair warning.
Well, we're sticking strict to the schedule, so look.
Oh, we'll be there by 8, but we're just going to be close, but we can haul some people if you want.
Don't need any.
All right.
Okay. Listen, here's the Night Stalker. This is Victor, the Night Stalker. Sit down here, man. Did you sleep at all last night, Vic?
Yeah.
Vic, take this earpiece. Stick it in here. We're just kind of having a free-for-all here today, Vic.
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody, man, what's going on here? What do you think?
Oh, I think this is just a marvelous time.
And you brought your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Marie got the gun.
And then she's doing her thing, you know, for the Lord. She just loves him so much. And this is good.
She gets a serving, doesn't she?
Yes, she's a serving heart. And then we have Johnny B.
Johnny Burkeen?
Johnny Burkeen and then Johnny Barnett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then
we picked him up. We picked him up when we went to Chappaqua.
And then we saw Mr. Roy Davis.
We'll get Roy in here.
He came in from
Oklahoma,
but from the other side of Oklahoma, right there on the Red River.
Hey, Vic, listen. We're already in FEMA camps. I just mentioned that. What you said that the other day. What do you mean by that?
See, when you can't really speak what's in your heart, this is a problem. This is why HR 5 is so important.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
Because right now, they're making us feel this guilt that is not going to let us go ahead and survive the independence that the Lord gave us. The Lord gave us free will. And if we can't exercise that free will, why can't you call black black? Why can't you call a dog dog? Why can't you say thank you instead of some other stuff?
Why can't you say Hispanic? Huh? Why can't you say illegal and immigrant?
Right.
Huh?
And then we get all upset and offended. Come on, man. You know, we're grown men. And then the best way is just like a duck. You let the water roll off your back, and we'll be all good.
Keep moving forward.
Yeah.
We're out of war, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Vic, some good folk here, aren't there?
Oh, a lot of good folk.
Folks, it gives you hope. It gives you hope that you're not alone, you know. And I'm not saying this to besmirch anybody. What am I doing wrong? That I got guys here from 19 different states, and I don't have people from Ohio here. What's up, Vic?
Well, Tim's here from Michigan. He's here from Battle Creek.
Drove all the way from Battle Creek alone. Right.
Right.
Gary, yeah. Gary drove all the way from where? Gary, Rochester, Syracuse, by himself, Syracuse, New York. It was important enough for him to come and be here.
And then the important cog, Gary P. He drove with his one hand because the other hand just came out of the cats.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Hey, listen. We ain't got nobody to blame but ourselves. If this whole thing comes down, falls apart on us, ain't nobody ain't gonna blame the devil, brother. I ain't blaming the devil.
No.
It's us. It's us.
But see, here's a recommendation. You possibly are not gonna make every function, but let's say that it's in your neighborhood. You should make that function.
Mm-hmm. And how about this, Vic? How about you make it a priority? How far was it for you and Mary?
Oh, about 1,600 and then some.
And you jumped in your car? You didn't sleep much?
I slept for 1 hour there in Elk City, Oklahoma, because there were tornadoes crossing the road. So I didn't want to get broadsided by a tornado. So
wait, what the hell are you doing here? Why would you do this?
Oh, this is for the love. I love you, Coach, but I love God more.
We're a family, aren't we, Vic?
Yes, we are.
Folks, I'm telling you, that's the thing you're missing most. That's the thing that you're missing most. Hey, listen. It ain't your church family. Your church ain't your family. They want to tell you it is, but it isn't. No. There's my brother. Right there's my brother. Huh?
Yep.
Not some guy I go sit with beside on Sunday. There's my brother right there. Right? 1,600 miles? 1,600 miles. Away. Yeah.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? All right, Vic, let me get some.
God bless you. Yes, sir.
You won't believe this, Vic. I haven't had anything to eat. I've had nothing to eat. Well, nobody's taking care of me. Hey, get over here, Roy. Nobody's taking care of me. I'm just pulling up new folks. This is Roy. Roy, put this earpiece in. You ever watch the show, Roy?
Every day.
Okay, so Roy watches every day, and Roy's driven in from Oklahoma. He emailed me about 2 weeks ago. Says, Coach, I'm coming. Anybody else needs a ride? I'm coming. Roy, what's wrong with you, man? What are you doing here?
We've got to get out in the streets. I mean, sitting in church ain't working anymore. People want to pat themselves on the back because they went and sat in the pew for 45 minutes.
Went home safe, right? It's all safe. They made it home.
Right. We've got to be the light in the darkness, you know, glorify Jesus. And we've got to do it in the streets where the sin is. That's what he would have done.
That's where he is today. He's out in the streets, right?
God's got a calling on us. And not only are we going to lose spiritually, we're going to lose our country if we don't do something.
What drew you to this group, Al?
Your boldness. I'm an Army vet, so I've always been pretty loud and bold. And that's it, the coach in you. I come from a long line of coaches, so they're close to my heart.
Speaks to men's hearts.
That's right, it does.
Folks, listen, I'm going to say this again. Let me get close here. People don't follow positions. You can call yourself president of – see, I could go around and tell everybody that I'm president of Pass the Salt Ministry. Well, here's Coach Dave. He's president of Pass the Salt Ministries. And right over there is Mike Heath. Mike's president of Helping Hands Ministry. And over there is Joe Blow, and he's president of I'm Going to Get It Done Ministries. And nobody cares. You know why? They follow courage. Amen?
Got to have leadership.
They follow
courage,
right? And so that's the one thing that we lack so much. We have men and women all across America, I'm telling you, who are looking for somebody to follow. And I say, listen, don't follow me. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes, that's right.
So no matter where you are, whether you're in Rochester, New York, or Syracuse, New York, or what city are you in, Roy? Durant, Oklahoma, or George, and no matter where you are, man. You got to run to the sound of the trumpet. The Bible says if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? So we stood up out here in Buckeye Lake, and we blew that trumpet, and they came. 19 different states. There'll be more. There are more flying in today. Randy Lunsford. Randy came to Chappaqua, and we got to go pick him up. He's coming to Columbus, and Paul Webb's coming with him. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I just hope you are. I just hope you are.
Great weekend in the Lord, no doubt.
Desperate times. We're going to do some great stuff. We're going to do some great fellowship. We're going to make lifelong friends.
That's
what we're going to do here.
So far, it's been outstanding, been great. The fellowship's wonderful. And just to be around like-minded people, you know, you just asked Victor a question about how come the local people, what did Jesus say? He said he's not even accepted among his own people. Same way with half my family thinks I'm a radical idiot because of my beliefs, because I want to stand boldly against Obama and Clinton and proclaim Jesus as the standard.
And so you'll drive 800 miles to find somebody who'll stand with you.
You better believe
that's
it.
That's what it's about.
That's right.
About. Well, Mike, over here. Go ahead.
Dave, I was just going to quickly add when you asked the question, I mean, you've got some local guys here. We'll be here throughout the
weekend. I understand.
But here's the thing. You have been a lightning rod in Central Ohio for more than 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have established yourself within Central Ohio as someone who's not afraid to speak up and to show up.
Right.
The reality is, whether it's Central Ohio or Oregon, there aren't a lot of men that want to do that. And quite frankly, in Central Ohio, you name me one conservative Christian, or whatever you want to call it, activist, other than you. I don't know any other.
Mark Harrington.
I would agree. Mark Harrington.
But Dave, there's not a whole lot of you who lead a ministry that is an activist, and that's what we love about it.
Well, people say, "Well, you're just a media hawk, Coach. You're always got your. You know why? They come after me because they don't know who else to call. If they want somebody to give the Christian perspective, they call me. They don't call Rob Parsley. Yeah. They call me because they know that I'm a guy that's out there doing. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling it the way it is. And so I'm trying to ignite other guys' hearts, like this guy right here, Mike Blake. Just stay right there, Mike. Mike's dad owns this place. And I met Mike Blake. I met him about 8 years ago, probably. He'd go to the little church over here down the road, and I'd come over there, and I'd see him, shake his hand, how you doing? And I'd go up to Wisconsin to do an event up in Wisconsin, and freaking Mike Blake drives from Columbus, Ohio, to Wisconsin to come to boot camp. I said, something's wrong here, right? This guy's got to come clear to Wisconsin. And something happened inside his heart, man. And he came to me and said, Coach, if you want to, you can use our property for your event. And I'm thinking, we got a place over here. My guy, but I said, okay, I'll come by and look at it just to be courteous, right? They come in and think, are you kidding me? This property, 2 acres on the lake? Coach, you can put up tents, you can park cars. And in the meantime, he's even hooked even more than that, man. He's got him a wagon over there that he's going to get abortion signs and stuff put on. He goes to the clinic all the time. Mike, what in the heck happened to you? Thanks, Mike.
Well, it was actually at this event last year that going over to the abortion clinic and actually seeing the women go in with a child and come out without one, that turned my heart, and the Holy Spirit took a hold of me, and I don't know.
I can't even explain it.
And I've read more and understood more in the Bible in the last year than I have in my 35 supposedly years of being a Christian. And I was even telling Coach when we was down in Chappaqua, he said, when our preacher preaches, and I'm not saying he's a bad preacher, but I don't even believe it anymore. I go home and I'll look it up and I'll study out what he's saying. And I just can't believe what the Holy Spirit's done in my life. You know, my wife thinks I'm crazy, but, she's coming along, and I told her she can come for the ride.
And she's going to the clinic?
She's going to the clinic first time, and my daughter.
Now, Mike, the point that you made, it's not that you don't believe your pastor. You just dig deeper into what he said,
Amen.
Right? Not
Amen.
Saying he's lying to you. You hear from him, he said, okay, that intrigued me. I'm going to dig this thing out a little bit deeper, right?
Amen.
The Bible says to search the scriptures. It says to meditate on the word night and day and day and night. And listen, Mike's all in, man. I showed you guys the picture of him last week when they did the HOMO parade here in Newark. Mike's guy out there standing out there holding the sign, God hates sin. That's what it said, didn't it, Mike?
Amen.
So he's hooked, man. He's hooked. He goes to the clinic every Friday, and his buddy Richard Rapp, and he has become an evangelist, man. He's become an evangelist. So I said, I can't thank him enough. Every time I say, Mike, I can't believe that you let us use this place. What do you say, Mike, every time I tell you?
I'm blessed. My dad feels blessed to be able to let people use it for what we're using it for.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. Mike's dad bought this property and lost his wife soon after that, and it just broke his heart. He can't even hardly come out of there anymore. It allows it. This, folks, this is unbelievable, this property. And listen, the Lord is blessing my steps. Amen. What I mean by that, everywhere I go, he puts somebody else in my path. Who would have ever thought that we would be here doing this? Who would have ever thought? I was stunned when I went to Wisconsin, and Mike Blake is at Wisconsin for a boot camp. Said, oh, my Lord. And it's been a changed life for Mike Blake.
Amen.
He doesn't know why. I don't know why. It's a changed life, man. And so we're looking for more of you. We're excited this weekend, Gay Pride Parade. Abortion clinic. We're gonna go to the Nephilim Mounds. We got all kinds of great stuff. Fellowship, eat, tell jokes, pray, love on each other. And I said to somebody else, Mike, you're my family.
Amen.
It ain't a church family. Mike Blake's my family. Mike Heath's my family. Gary's my family. And we gotta, again, the whole idea, understand that we need to
assemble ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And I don't know about you, I see that day approaching. I think it's time we get
assembled. Can I say one more
sure.
thing?
Sure, Mike.
The biggest thing that I've noticed is when we do these type of events is that we're actually going to battle with our brothers, and the closeness and the camaraderie that is felt after one of these events is unexplainable.
It is.
Bob
Evans just told me he can't sleep for three nights when he goes home. So he said, I just can't even sleep.
And not only that, but the courage you get when you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters when you're doing these type of events. A year ago, if you'd have told me I was going to go stand on the street by myself with a sign, I'd have told you he was crazy. But I didn't have any fear. The only thing the Lord told me was, on this type of event that I went to, just don't say anything. Just stand there.
Just stand and watch.
And I even got approached by the Newark Advocate who took my picture, and the lady wanted me to give her an interview. And I said, you guys always take what I say and you chop it up and you butcher it anyway. I said, my sign speaks for what
Amen.
It's all you need to know.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Mike. Welcome to the demon. Bobby, meet you real quick.
Hey, Coach, what you guys were just talking about is the building of the body of Christ. This is a glimpse of what the real body of Christ is like, the heavenly formation of it. This is just the beginning of it here on earth.
This is assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And here's the wild and crazy man, Bobby Lee. Bobby's from, sometimes he's from Pennsylvania and sometimes he's from Kentucky. And he is a wild and crazy guy making all these videos. Bobby, what the heck happened to you?
Listen, I live my life like a lot of people for a couple, 2.5 decades for the flesh, doing what you want to do. And things happened across the last 10 years to where I woke up to be at 9/11 and all these other things. There's a difference between conspiracy fact and conspiracy truth. And almost everything I investigated turned out to be truth. And I realized how few people are awake or really care about the truth. And within the recent years, I've looked back at who I started out to be at 17 and 20 years old and how I got sucked into the college world of destruction. And that first college experience set my life pattern for the next 2.5 decades.
Wow.
Yeah. And it sucks. It makes me angry. And that's why I speak so adamantly against college to this day. I don't believe everybody's not supposed to go to college. I think there's an elect few that's supposed to go to college, and the rest of us are supposed to carry the industrial weight. That's my personal opinion. We're supposed to be working. But college has turned into a cesspit of social behavior. I feel like it destroyed my life. I wish I would have done anything to go to college. It's a factory of turning out people with useless human service degrees after they've partied for 4 or 6 years and acted like fools, and now they're teaching your kids that homosexual butt sex is okay. So all of this stuff combined has led me to where I am now, because I started out at 17 and 18 as a strong Christian at Bethel Baptist Church in Fenchburg, Kentucky.
It sucked it right out
of me. It sucked the life right out of me, and it makes me angry.
Yes, sir. Amen. Well, the steps of the righteous man ordered by the Lord, and he's cut you a path so you're back in line again, you know, Bobby?
Yeah.
Exactly what's going on. What's your overview, Bob, just being here last night? Just all we did last night was just sit around fellowship. This is the body, isn't it, bud?
It is. I'm looking for that 100 people. I don't see 100 people. I see the solid remnant again. This is the arena. I mean, these are the big games. These are the events. This is where all of the talking ends and the real strong Christian men and women that are willing to step into the face of the enemy. It's happening right now. And I made the comment, I like my phrases. Sometimes my phrases just pop into my head. A week or so ago, I created a new phrase. I've always been saying cowardice Christian men and women hiding behind church walls. And then I said cowardice Christian men and women hiding behind your Christian computer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to climb out from behind that computer.
We do, man. We do. Folks, and listen, it's now. You understand? It's now. as I said the other day, who's the next Donald Trump, man? It's now. It's now. And this HB, House Bill 5, all that stuff coming down there, it's coming down around us if we don't stand up and we don't push back against it now. Bobby, God bless you, man. Thanks for coming out in all your time and effort and energy and everything you're doing. And I love your energy. And I feed off of your energy, and you feed off of my energy. And Bobby made a video the other day. He went to the 911 memorial in Washington, D.C., and not one mention, not one picture, not one mention of Building 7.
Not one
mention of that Building 7 coming down.
Doesn't exist.
Mind control. Thanks, Bobby. How much time I got there, Jared? Somebody help me out here. 10 minutes. Get over here real quick, Gary. Okay. Come on over here. Just a humble old guy, Gary Dunlap. Put this in your ear, Gary, so you can hear. You're just a humble old, just a humble guy, man. Lives up in Syracuse, New York. How old are you, Gary?
54.
54 years old. Listen to me. He's taking care of his dad. I'm gonna let that be a mic drop moment. He's 54 years old and he's living in Syracuse, New York, taking care of his father. I didn't put him in a nursing home. He's taking care of his dad. And Gary tries to make it everywhere he can to be part of it. What brought you here, Gary?
The desire to be around like-minded Christians, because I'm absolutely disgusted with church as a whole. Sad to say, including the church I'm a part of up in Syracuse. And what's really sad is if I was to talk about issues like abortion, homosexuality with the pastor and a lot of the people that are in my in the church, they would agree with me, you know, as far as the stands are concerned. But that's where it ends. There's, you know, the idea of getting out there, taking a stand, you know, whether it's standing outside of Planned Parenthood or being involved with contacting our elected officials, anything like that is seen as too much activism. It's seen as too much social justice.
He tried the Constitution Party route. He was part organized in Illinois, right,
yes,
Gary?
Yes.
Just, everything. It just. Folks, you know why? Because the battle's to the Christians. It's not to the Constitution Party. It's not to the Republican. It's the battle of Christians to come out. And that's what you're seeing, and your eyes
yes.
are opening to it, right?
Yes, yes. It's really, it truly is a spiritual battle. And if we don't take the fight to the enemy, you know, we're going to lose this country.
Amen. Amen. Larry, come over here real quick. Larry, I got to get, thanks, Gary. I got to get Larry. Listen, here he comes, man. You guys all ready? Listen, I'm not going to let him say one thing about those satanic social clubs, okay? I'm not going to let him say one thing about that because we know he wants to. Put your earplug in there, Larry. Look, hey, folks, say what you want. Say what you want. This dude here is a doer. Larry's cooking all the food here. He pulled up here yesterday with a truckload of grills and food and supplies and spices and he cooked breakfast this morning. While we go to the clinic, he's going to get lunch already. What the heck's wrong with you, Larry?
Don't know, but I like it. No, I just enjoy serving my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys out there. If the Holy Spirit leads me to serve somebody in the world, I'll do it. But I want to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's where my focus is.
Amen. It's a great crew here, isn't it, Larry?
Yes, it is.
And what? Tell them some of the stuff that you brought with you.
Oh, I brought two charcoal grills. I brought two... propane burners, a little small propane stove, and a flat top Blackstone propane grill.
He cooked pancakes this morning. Pancakes. This isn't even part of it. He got camp pancakes going for his brother's grandson with him. Hannon's second trip here with us. He's here, so Larry's training up his grandchildren to follow in his footsteps.
All right. Well, if you're not here and you live close enough, get here. Simple as that.
Still time to be part of it.
Simple as that.
Larry's got to clean up. Thanks, Larry, man. Okay, let me open the floor up. Anybody here? Anybody? Just a moment. I got to clean myself and wrap up. Because I can bring guy after guy after guy after guy and sit here and talk to him.
Hey, Dave.
Look at this. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Look at this. All the way from Nevada. There he is, Jeff. Jeff from Fallon. There he is. He flew in. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Real quick on Larry. I think Larry is a perfect example of, you know, the huddle allows us as men to share our thoughts, on scripture, on the culture. I don't agree with everything Larry says. He probably doesn't agree with everything you say. However, he's stood the test of time in participation, involvement, and commitment. And that's what is lacking. That's what's lacking with a lot of men, is they get their little pants ruffled and they leave. They split. Yep. And I think Larry is a healthy example of, I'm in this. And I may not be in it 89% with everybody. There may be a little bit I disagree with, but I'm in it. That's all I know. That's how I view Larry.
No, that's right, man. He's not a talker. He's a doer, right? He's a talker. Come on. Alan's trying to get I'm distracted here. 5 minutes left. Chad's got me distracted back. He's doing the dance over, trying to get somebody else to jump in there. Rob Pugh, real quick, Rob. Hurry up. Rob's here. If you don't mind the earwax, Rob, you can put that in there. Rob, he came yesterday. You've been sleeping all the whole time. You've been sleeping.
But hey, we got up at 2 in the morning, so. Yesterday, I don't even know what day it is. So
what's up, man?
What are we doing?
Well, we're just saying hi to everyone. We've been talking to a lot of folks and firing them up, getting ready to go to the clinic.
Well, I thought we had about 7 from Wisconsin coming. I think we're going to end up with about 14 now, so. So they're on their way.
Wisconsin.
Don Boss and his crew are coming.
Don's coming. Ray's there. I already spoke to Ray. He's here last night.
Some more from Appleton coming. So, yeah, I've heard from quite a few more since then. But
Rob,
7 from our little group.
Look, hey, folks, I ain't bragging here, okay? In all your time being a Christian, you ever seen anything like this, Rob?
No. You guys are doing, Coach is doing the, it's amazing. He's the only one doing this.
It is amazing. And we're assembling the body together, brother.
Right.
And we know some of you couldn't make. We know some of you. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm not. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now. You put on your calendar, Father's Day weekend next year, we're going to do it again. Put it on your calendar right now and begin to make plans. You can come here. You can swim. You can boat. You can make it a family vacation. And it's the idea of all of us coming together. We cannot win this battle alone. I'm for Rob Pugh. I'm for Wisconsin Christian News. You know what else? He's for me.
Absolutely.
Right? That's the only way this thing's going to work. And you know what else? Rob just doesn't say, Coach, I'm with you. I'm with you. Rob's with me. You see? He's with me. This is the only way.
Well, the thing is, you know, you don't really – you can explain it and you can watch videos, but you don't really get it until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Blake just told me that what actually activated him was when he came up for the first time 3 years ago to Wisconsin with us. That was his first time. And since he did that, you cannot get enough of it. So.
It may be dangerous to your health.
Well, right? No, it's actually it's beneficial to your soul.
Oh, how about that? Soul food, a little bit of soul food.
There you go.
Well, bless you, Rob. I love you, man. Thanks for being here. Yep. Right? Jeff from Fallon, real quick. Come on up. We're running down here real quick. Get over here. Jeff's usually sitting in the dark, right? He said, Coach, this is Jeff from Fallon. Right? You always said, here he is, Jeff from Fallon. How'd you get here, Jeff?
Well, I have prayed. I wanted to come, and I didn't have the finances, but I prayed to God, and on a Monday morning, I took a chance and called the Naval Air Station Fallon Air Terminal, and had a flight going all the way from NAS Fallon to Norfolk, Virginia. And then from there, I had the funds to take the rest of the way.
You got a free flight to Norfolk, Virginia, and then just had to play from a flight from Norfolk to here.
Right.
And then how are you getting home?
I'm straight to Columbus to Reno, Nevada.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable.
Praise the Lord.
He's going to get do some street preaching today. He loves to do it. And how about this? He won't be alone. Yes. He won't be alone when you do it. That's a little bit different, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah.
So he's excited. We're winding down. Bless you, Jeff, man. Thanks for being here. Okay, folks, help me wrap it up. Got a minute here. Got a minute to go. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Hang on, I gotta walk over here. Because look at this. We picked up this old patriot. We picked this old boy up in Chappaqua. Right? He thought we were nuts.
And the bold one there, baby. The bold one.
Here it is. Here he is. He's driven all the way from where did he live?
They call me Mountain Man.
Mountain Man, where do you live, Mountain Man?
Central Pennsylvania,
and the Mountain Man is here for all hands on deck. And he hadn't heard of the show. He hadn't heard of anything. He shows up at Chappaqua, and he says, that's my kind of people.
That's right. You don't worry about the snow.
Okay, folks. So they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Hey, we covet your prayers because we're gonna, you know, we're gonna walk into some unfriendly territory. Hey, come here real quick. Look at this. Mrs. Vic. You guys wonder? Mrs. Vic made it.
Everybody, God bless you all.
Yeah, so be praying for us. It's gonna be great. The Lord's gonna be high and lifted up. He said if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. So God bless y'all. Thanks for those of you who support us. We can use more of it. We got some bills here we need to take care of, but we know the Lord's faithful. Keep us in prayer. God bless you. We'll see you on what is today? Is this Friday? Yeah. I'll see you on Monday morning. Good report from them. Thanks, man. God bless you. See you.